You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Radio Rehab. There is always something exciting going on here at the pump, and we meet such interesting people. Ironically, I had a speaker today lined out that for some reason wasn't able to come, and there was a friend of our owner of the station here, and he willingly accepted the invitation to come on and talk to you at Radio Rehab today. So I'm excited to have this speaker, and we've just started to get to know each other. Good morning, Reverend Harlan Taylor from Evansville, Indiana.
Good morning, Lisa. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, so far so good. Thanks so much for coming and being willing to do this el prompto.
You're more than welcome. And the station owner, he's going to owe me a big time. Big fishing trip coming.
When's the fishing start?
As soon as the weather breaks. We're fair weather fishermen. Well, I know that I am, but I size it. I fish for souls, you know, every day of the week. So I enjoy fishing.
Fishing for souls, that's a neat way to say it. Yes, I've just met you, but I can see in your eyes that you have a language of the heart in there, and you definitely are committed to what you do. Tell us a little about you and what you do.
Well, there's really not a whole lot to tell about me. It's, you know, simply I'm a minister of the gospel. I love sharing Jesus Christ with anybody and everybody. And that is my light, my being. And if you talk to my children, my wife, they would tell you, yes, that's all he talks about. It's hard for him to be a father and husband without putting Christ in everything he says. And I don't do that to try to be anybody that is well known or anything in my a feather in my cap. It's just become ingrained in me. It's just a part of me. And so if something's a part of you, you share that part. And you want to be real with everyone that you meet. And so I don't have a problem sharing Christ, but I don't try to shove Christ down anybody's throat.
Well, it's obvious that you're alive and that you're excited about what you do. And this being the Christmas season, what a perfect see God was watching us that you came on this show today.
Must have been, because I was headed someplace else to do something else.
And your wife of 32 years was very ready to push you here, wasn't she?
Yes, she is a lovely person. I love my wife. And to those who don't know that my wife is Reverend Lorinda Taylor of 32 years, and we have been blessed with four children. And so I'm so happily, graciously, thankfully married. And I tell you what, it is a joy.
Yeah.
And work, but it's still a joy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's obvious that you two appreciate each other and love each other. What's the secret? Why do some of you, do you think it is because you are a minister and have that special relationship with Jesus that makes everything so much more special for you? Because I see so many people, Reverend, that pray for help with their addiction or their depression, and they pray and they're pious people, but they don't have that spirit you have.
No, I have nothing extra that ordinary, well, I won't say ordinary, but any individual has.
So what do you
being
think
a minister is just that it's a choice. We, you know, a choice in one aspect, and then also it is all, as you know, benediction is a chemical imbalance.
Right.
You can't help yourself in a lot of ways for when you get addicted, because now your body has a craving. And for the minister or anyone else, it's the choices we make during life, and we can make some good choices and some bad choices.
Mm-hmm.
And no one has an unblemished record, okay? Let me just go off and say that. You know, I'm not sitting here saying I'm pious and I'm perfect.
Right.
No, but I was fortunate to have people in my life to give me some good direction. I've experienced some things, and I've taken note. And one thing that I didn't want to do was to ruin my body, because I thought somewhere in the back of my mind that I was an athlete. And, you know, an athlete's not supposed to do certain things, but we do all kind of things. But I was just blessed to hear God's word, receive God's word, take his word to the heart in truth, and then say, you know what? I've been taught better, shown better, and I also know better. And so therefore, who am I going to serve? Am I going to serve God to the best of my ability, mm-hmm. with all my flaws and frailties? Or am I going to look at the world and try to do what the world says to do? And that's
a lot of temptation.
Oh, there's temptations constantly.
So as a minister, when you somebody comes to you that has a drug or alcohol problem or a mental health problem, as a minister, where do you usually refer them? How do you deal with that?
Well, first, I try to build a rapport with them before I refer anybody to any place, because you have to get to know that person or understand, you know, what are they dealing with and where are they coming from, and really, what are they crying out for? Because you can send somebody for some help, and if you send them to the wrong doctor, you made mm-hmm. a mistake. Not saying that doctor is bad, but that wasn't a particular ailment that they was dealing with, and so he couldn't prescribe or she couldn't prescribe the right formula, medication, or whatever for them. So you had to listen to what they have to say and try to find the root of the problem before you can go and say, okay, I know what you need, where you need to go, and here's a person that can help. And then you have to have relationships with other people that mm-hmm. you can trust, that they're not going to use that individual as a guinea pig or as a trophy, that they're really truly looking to help that person, to help them overcome whatever it is that their problem may be.
Well, you know, we were talking before this about the article I read.
Yes.
That the number one person people go to first in the whole public arena when they're in trouble with drugs, alcohol, or mental health or depression is their minister or rabbi usually, and they're the least likely to refer them to help.
Right. I was stunned when you told me that, because
I was stunned too when I read it.
The number one person.
The go-to person over and above doctors and everyone else.
But I think one of the reasons why we may be the least referred is because of we're afraid that if an individual comes to us and seeks help and we can't help them, we failed them.
So you want to be the helper.
We want to make sure that we can help them. And then secondly, we have to look at the whole person and to find out what the problem is. If the person has been introduced to Christ, or if they're Jewish, if they're whatever their religion may be, and mm-hmm. I try to stick with just the word of Christ, Jesus, not being denomination, but let's see Christ first. But what that may be, and do they have a relationship? Are they seeking relationship? And if so, have they been damaged in some kind of way? And what else is going on that they may have come up with an excuse, because we all have excuses. Mm-hmm. And so we got to try to strip those. And I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't claim to be. But we try to get them to really speak the truth is, come on, let's be for real. What are we really dealing with? And why did you really seek me out for help? Because if I can find out the truth, then I know who can I, send you to. And so knowing that, we're able to, but not knowing that, we're kind of skeptical mm-hmm. about sending someone out to, be put on more drugs than they're on, or not to receive the help that they need. And sometimes, is it a scam? Because at this time particularly, there's a lot of people that's scamming, mm-hmm. not really wanting help, but just wanting to get something from you.
So, wow, you guys are constantly assessing as well. And watching and trying to be a guardian to the person to get them to a safe place.
Yes. Because one thing you don't want is someone says, you know what, I went to this minister and he referred me to here and they did this to me. I'll never trust another clergy again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Or I'll never trust a person who I can go for an addiction to this agency and they just hurt me more. You don't want that to happen because, bad news travels
way quicker than good news. Yes. Have you heard of the programs Alcoholics Anonymous, NARCA, the 12-step programs?
Yes.
Those are just fabulous for folks in recovery.
They're great. I applaud them, but I would just like to see them add on to as the spiritual base. And there is some that have that there.
Definitely.
That, it's a wholeness.
Right.
And that, and so I'm a minister. I'm true to my, to my calling. Let's not leave out the gospel, the one who made you, created you, and one who sustained you. And If we add that, I think it's even stronger because, yes, you do have to have certain steps. And there's some people that need more structure than others.
Right.
Some people need more of, we want to say, a person, a buddy that they can go through. And they have this program they can, you know,
sponsor.
Response. Yeah. And, okay, if I slip here, I go back to here. And there's others that, so I think there's a variety of things that can be done. And so we can't, we say cookie cut. We can't put everybody in one thing and say, hey, this is for you, because what may work for you may not work for me. Mm-hmm. What works for me may not work for someone else.
One size doesn't fit all.
Definitely, definitely. I know it didn't for me when I was growing up.
Yeah, yeah. What made you decide to get in the ministry? That takes 100% commitment.
Wow. It really wasn't a decision for me as it was being called upon my life. Ironically, my mother thought it would be one of my brothers to go into the ministry.
Oh, really?
Because I was just one of those good kid, but, you know, smart aleck kid. You know, I was mischief.
Uh-huh.
And I would go to church, and I would sit there, and I would hear all these, you know, these great sermons and all this. I'm going, like, just tell me what I need to do for my life to be right. Let's not give me all this formula. Just point blank, it's got to be three steps. One, two, three. What do I need to do, you know, for my life to be right? And so with that questioning and having the love that I was able to go to different denominations and visit and participate, that just drew me into Christ and hearing his voice saying, you know what, this is what I want you to do. As a young person, I didn't understand it. All I knew was, well, I'm not old enough, I don't think, and can I have, like we all want to, can I have some fun first? Dangerous thing to say. You know, let me do all these things I want to do in the world and all that, and then I'll make time for you. But the question was, you know, but are you truly living? Are you truly happy? Is this what you really want? Because we all want to have that American dream. Mm-hmm. I want to have a success. I want to have a job. I want to have a family. I want to live happy ever after in my life. But that wasn't happening.
Yeah, being religious doesn't seem to fit in a 20-year-old's lifestyle.
No way. And so knowing that all the time, it was being told to me what I needed to do.
You were being nudged. And
all the time. But I was looking for something that was textual.
Mm-hmm.
One, two, three, and that's it. But he was always saying, you know, all you have to do is really just give in. Give yourself to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give your life back to you. But I'm just going to help lead and guide you. And that was just too, it was just too easy.
And nothing obvious to you, I guess.
Nothing would be that easy.
Yeah.
And the same way with someone's addiction, it's just, you know, one of the first things is you had to confess, you had to say, I do have a problem.
That's the first step, big step.
But it seems like, that's too easy because I don't have a problem.
Yes.
You know, you had the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're looking for there's
got
to be something major, you know. Is this not denial? No, it has to be something that happened or that's going on in my life right now. It's just not that I'm denying that I have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was denying that the word was coming to me that all you have to do is really surrender your life and watch me cost of my love, give your life back to you, but much better than you have it now.
And it is.
It is.
Every
it
day.
Every day. You know, every day. Even though there's ups and downs and struggles, we go through the same thing that everyone else upon this planet goes through, but my thought pattern is different to where I know that I'm a victor, not a victim.
Mm.
So no matter what happens, I have the ability to overcome. And so if I don't win this very battle, I've won the war. And so I'm in a win-win situation. I can't lose. I lose my job, that's okay. I'll find another job. If not, then I'll still be able to take care of my family some kind of way. I'm still a victor, not a victim.
I love that. And so, hold on, everybody, till after break, because I want to come back and talk more to Reverend Harlan about being a victor instead of a victim, and maybe a little more also about how people can get there, because how they can get to that happiness and peace that you obviously have. So don't go away, you all. We're going to go on a break. Don't forget, if you want to call in, nothing's below the belt. If you want to ask any of us any questions, we will be right back.
Hey, what's happening? It's your man Big Ticket doing big things, and this weekend you cannot miss the show. I am broadcasting live from the world's largest, sexiest, most incredible Christmas party with all your favorite celebrities. It's going down right here, live in the den on your favorite radio station.
Check out Live in the Den with Big Ticket right here on 1400 every Saturday night from 6 until 9 p.m. and again from 2 a.m. till 5 a.m. Big Ticket, Live in the Den, right here on the pump.
Hey, you. Yeah, you listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warren County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Welcome back. I'm talking to just a guy full of excitement about life and God and his life. And you know, he was talking before the break how he has such faith that no matter what happens to him, he knows he'll be taken care of. And we were talking just now about why do some people seem to get that and surrender and turn on and find peace and then others don't? Why are some victors and some just stay victims? So that's what we've been discussing. And I want you to hear what Reverend Harlan has to say about that.
Well, what I have for myself, I believe, and I found in the Word of God, is surrender. Surrendering is one of the hardest things for us to do, but yet, in a lot of cases, so easy. There's some things that we can surrender to without a problem. Some things we don't even think about surrendering to, we just do. And there's other things is surrendering my control.
Yeah, you know, that ego.
You know, my power. No, I'll go so far.
Oh, hold on. Somebody's calling in. Oh, good. Hi.
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 I was wanting to know how you became a reverend.
How he became a reverend?
Yeah, what made him want to become one?
Okay, great question. Thank you, Allison. We'll answer that. And what makes you want to stay one? Getting to there is one thing, staying there, too.
How I became one, well, it was a calling on my life that I didn't realize at the time. But as I got older, as I matured, as I reunited with my church family and the help of my wife. My wife helped me out a lot when we got first married.
Key relationship in life, isn't it, your partner?
She would want to read the Bible together, and I'm going like, oh, no. You read it. Tell me what it says, because I don't want to be held accountable. You know that saying is, you know, innocent because
I'm still having fun.
Because I don't know, then I'm not held accountable. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, ignorance of the law is not, because I knew. And then I had to surrender, and being surrounded not by me choosing, but they happened to come into my life. Ministers, friends that was going back to Christ. And then when we go someplace, I would be asked, are you a minister? And I'm going like, oh, no, you must be looking at someone else. But it's just God placing people in my life. And me being willing to say, okay, I'm not going to fight this anymore.
Again. Yeah.
I'm going to surrender. This is what you would have me to do. I'll do it to the best of my ability, because there were things I would have liked to have done, and each time I got ready to do it, something says, no, that's not for you.
Well, it looks like it's not just a profession for you. It's a real way of life.
Yes.
It is you. It is.
It is.
And staying in that victor, do you have to, does being a minister of God force you in a lifestyle, an attitude of being a victor? Where do you go when you're down in the dumps?
It doesn't force you to. It's still your choice. I go to like everybody. I have to go and read my Bible. Although I'm a pastor, I have a pastor as well, so I can go and talk to my pastor. But main thing is, I go and talk to God. You know, Lord, I'm having some problems. I'm having difficulties, and I tell people they can talk to you just as you know. You were sitting there in the room with them, so then I have to do this too. I can't tell someone mm-hmm. one thing and do something different. And
true.
So I just come in and I just let it all out. Okay.
So you have people you go to.
Would I'm
you
a man. Ever, I'm a, I cry. Okay.
Right.
I cry out. Yeah. And
would you ever go to a counselor?
Would I ever go to if need be and I have to? Yes. Hmm. I will, because I think they play an important role. And you will hear, I'm called to go to the hospitals now, and I will tell people, you know what, let's pray and let's ask God to heal you, you know, through his miracle healings. However, he had made doctors and hospitals and medications. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray that they will perform for God what he can do with them or without them. Now, do I believe that you can be healed without going to a doctor? Yes, I do. Do I believe that you can be healed going to a doctor? Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. So it counts on where you are and what God is saying. Because if you don't believe that you can get a miraculous healing, then there's nothing I can do or say to you that's going to take you there. So I had to, you know, take you where you are right now so that you can receive, to be open up to receive what God has for you. So if he's going to use a doctor, by all means.
So
I hope he's a Christian doctor, but all means. And, you know, the doctor let us pray. And there's doctors that came and said, you know what, can I get in the prayer with you all?
Because so it's all about faith.
Yes, it's about faith.
So, Reverend Harlan, you believe you have to be a Christian to be loved and healed by God? What about the other religions? And what about people that don't believe? Do they?
I believe that you have to surrender and give your life to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior and believe it truly in your heart and confess your mouth to be saved. And be able to be a child of God. I believe that you can be healed and not be a Christian. However, there is a difference between healing and wholeness. Because you have heard people say, I went to the doctor and I got healed. But then 4 or 5 years later, the sickness or the ailment comes back. They received a healing, but they didn't receive a wholeness. Wholeness is when that won't return, and therefore you have the full benefits of a child of God. And we know that God says in his own word, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So there's blessings for those who are believers and those who aren't believers. But if you wish to see the fullness of the blessing, you must be a child of his.
Wow. So what if somebody is addicted or sick or mentally ill and you know somebody you've heard has a great reputation but is not a Christian? Would you refer to them?
On the medical side?
On the medical side.
I would, if this is the person that's there, I would, but I would let the person know that you also need a balance. This person has been given that gift, that talent.
The medicine
to do
specific.
This particular. But you still need the spiritual. And the reason we don't refer a lot of people, as you said in the article, is mm-hmm. there's not the fullness of it. Because a person who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, they will tell you that it's because of your DNA, your addiction, your home life, what may happen to you, give you these all mental things. But what about your spiritual?
Right.
And so you come away with a physical healing, but you're still dead spiritually.
Mm.
So you have a person.
You're talking about body, mind, emotion, spirit.
Yes.
The wholeness.
The wholeness. And so that's what we have to look for. And there are some good doctors out there who will, you know, go to the hilt for their, but, mm-hmm. you know, they think that they own everything, and they, you know, they have the right for life and death. They're not the creator. They wasn't giving that. They're there to be a help, to be a blessing to someone else. And so if you're getting someone who is guiding addiction, which we know there's a chemical imbalance in the brain, and they get
a spiritual
help, but then their spiritual life is suffering, what can that doctor give them?
Right. I think there needs to be a referral on both sides, from the ministry to medicine, from medicine to the ministry. Have you ever been to an AA meeting or an NA meeting?
I have been to an AA meeting and an NA meeting.
Have you?
Yes, I have.
Because I was going to invite you. Because it's a spiritual program, no doubt about it.
And I've been
divinely inspired.
And also in the AIDS, you know, program,
right?
And years
the AIDS
past,
research.
And so, you know, there's that. And so you have to try to find that, because here's the whole bottom line: we need one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I use the illustration of
to be a victor. You can't do it alone.
Because I'm blessed to be a blessing. So here's a hand, and if I just have one finger, I can only do limited things with that one finger. But if I have my four fingers and thumb, I can do a whole lot more. I can pick up more. I can grip more. I can help more. And so we have to understand that we are all created here to bless one another. And so no one can do everything by themselves. And so you have to understand this: the way I to be victorious is being used in the way that God has created me to do, and that is to help and to share. And so we had to be able to go like, okay, I'm a medical profession. I know this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that's my particular.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you see it done in medical profession anyway. If you have an ailment, they'll send you to the doctor, and he says, well, you know what? I'm going to refer you to this specialist.
Sure.
I'm going to refer you to that specialist.
Sure.
But there's not that many. You need to talk with
your minister or your rabbi or your priest. You're right.
You don't
right.
get that
That's
too
true.
Often. But in some cases you do. And
yes.
Then you can
it's getting
together,
better.
It is. And when you can get together and work and talk and come together, you can help that individual much, much better than you can.
Well, it sounds like you're talking about unification of our resources.
Yeah. Talking about unity.
Do you know Marvelline? Prince, do you know
yes.
Marvelline? Marvelline is really an activist in the community, trying to get people, ministry, everybody together to help with the addictive disorders in our community. And she has said the same thing you're saying. It's got to be, let's all work together and not think I'm the one that can save Reverend Harlan. We've got to look for everybody that's there that can help you.
Right, because one thing is, there is, and I'm going to use an Old Testament type of scenario.
Oh, good, because I'm an Old Testament woman.
You have a priest, you have a king, and you have Levites, you have members. Now, the priest's job was not to be the king. He doesn't rule the country.
Mm-mm.
However, the king's job was not to be the priest, the one who, you know, heard
the politician,
from God.
Yeah.
But the king needed the priest to be guided in matters that he didn't know about. The priest needed the king for the king to give resources to do things that he didn't have the resources to do. And they both needed the people to follow along with the program that was given by God. And that's where we're supposed to be.
That's called life, huh?
That's life, and living to the fullest. And especially during this season that we're celebrating, Christmas, Hanukkah is just, you know, is also there. And so understand, why are we here, and what are we here to do? I mean, if I'm here to hoard it all for myself, that's not what the Creator, you know, have us do. That's not what God created us for.
So where can we find you if we want to hear more of your awesome spirit and faith?
If you're looking to find me, I'm
yes,
very easily available.
Where do you go talk?
We fellowship on Sunday morning.
Where?
At the Holiday Inn North. That's off of 41 in Lynch.
Holiday Inn North.
We have our worship times at 10 a.m. You can also find us on the radio at 10:30 WOA. Here at the pump. Taking It to the Streets. That's the name of our program. Taking It to the Streets.
I love that.
And then on Sunday evenings at 5 to 7, my wife and I, we do a Sunday evening gospel program. And then let me give you our website. Our
Great.
Website is the numeral number 1, minute, the whole word minute.
MINUTE.
Yes. The numeral number 2, live, LIVE, by bynministries.com. We're on the web, and you can find us there. You can email us. You can listen to some sermons. You can interact with us, and we'll be more than welcome to hear from you. Or you can give me a call at area code 812-423-3713. I hope I said that right.
422.
No, I'm sorry. Area code 812-480. There's so many numbers. Let me get that right.
Yeah, 480. 480-3713. 3713.
Yes.
So we can get in touch with Reverend Harlan or his wife at 480-3713.
Right.
Or 1 minute to live by ministries.com.
Yes.
That's great. You're available for people.
Yeah, we're available. And then also on Sunday evening from 7 to 7:15, my wife does a one-minute live edition. That's a book that she wrote with just inspirational messages, you know, to soothe the soul. So
that's
15
great.
Minutes to do that. And so that's what we're here for. We're here to be a blessing.
Thanks for sharing. Thanks for being so convicted and believing in your faith and the power. I think your message is well heard, well received, and we definitely need to be more neighborly through this holiday season of Christmas and next year. And well, please come back.
I will, and not only during this Christmas season, but let's extend this for a lifetime.
I'm for that. Thank you, Reverend. You will come back, I hope.
I'll come back if you ask me.
I definitely do, and your wife and Ed wants this to go to an hour next year, Radio Rehab, so we could really get down and talk.
Okay, yeah, because there's, we all need to rehab from something.
That's right. Well, you all, this has been a wonderful show. I'm sorry the guest that I invited was unable to show, but this worked out even better. What a great message for Christmas and for our life. Lifetime to stick together and use the resources we have. The kings, the priests, and all the people.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Radio Rehab. Don't forget, you can hear this too on the World Wide Web, www.lisaseifcares.net. And until next week, don't forget to do the next right thing and have a wonderful, happy, healthy, peaceful Christmas.
WEOA, Evansville Henderson.